Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this latest meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Cabinet. We go straight to the agenda. Item number one on the agenda is the minutes of the 11th of December 2025, a circulation and published on the 12th of December 2025. Everyone happy to sign the minutes?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Item number two is apologies.
All present tonight, Leader.
Thanks very much. Item three is councillor question time, if
there,
any.
There are not.
No. And four, it's a proposal of the cabinet members, and they're as follows. A, resources portfolio, general fund, revenue budget and capital programme 2025 to 28, Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Leader. As members will no doubt already have read this very lengthy and detailed report, I'll try and cover just the salient points, so that will still make it rather lengthy. The report's purpose is to propose to the Council the general fund revenue budget for 2026-27, the updated capital programme 26-27 to 28-29, and indicative budgets for 2027-28 and 28-29. The recommendations are set out in paragraph 2.1 and will be dealt with largely as I go through the report. Key issues are mentioned in this report, such as local government reorganisation and the provisional local government finance settlement for 2026-27, including the implementation of the fairer funding review, the business rates reset, as well as a three-year provisional, and I stress that word, provisional settlement, and it's all covered in section 3. The budget for 26-27 is based on the estimated outturn position for 25-26, which has been updated to reflect known changes and estimates for 2026-27. Now, indicative budgets have been set out for 27-28 and 28-29, which include the key issues that it is anticipated will be likely to have an impact on our finances. Section 5 covers the key issues in more detail and underlines the large amount of work and costs are unclear at present, for existing councils to meet the challenging timetable set by the government for local government reorganisation. But both those things will need to be planned for. Paragraph 5.5 covers the effects of the increase in business rates, as well as the previous increase in national insurance on our partners, as well as indirectly on users of council services. Worst case scenarios are also covered. Well, the fairer funding review has now been implemented based on an updated needs formula to allocate funds. And the results are a large shift in resources away from district councils and towards others, as can be seen from the table in paragraph 5.8. Metropolitan councils were the biggest beneficiary, as the methodology used to calculate needs favoured them more than it did districts. The reset of business rates meant that all previous growth over the old baseline amount was taken away from the council, and a new baseline has been introduced. Although it is anticipated, that wording anticipated, that the council will be able to retain any growth over this new baseline amount, at present, the figures supplied in the settlement are built into the budget. We are anticipating something that might be possible in the future. We have to see. Well, at the time of setting the budget, we had no indication of transitional grant funding to protect the budget as a result of fairer funding or business rates reset. In fact, the settlement was announced on the 17th of December 2025, and we were already a very, very long way to try to sort out a budget, and goodness help us if we hadn't been. It turned out actually that the settlement was not as bad as we initially thought. It would be from the meetings we'd held with civil servants. However, it has been helped by the transitional grant, which is better than we thought it was going to be. But that's a fluke. We still have to find budget for something in our budget. It turned out to be better. So I suppose that's a win. Well, the settlement allows lower tier councils to raise council tax by the higher of 2.99 or £5 without a referendum. In fact, an increase of 2.99% is reflected in the settlement calculation by the government. So in other words, given the money we receive from the government, they're effectively telling us, put your rates up by 2.99%. And the corollary of that is that if we don't do it, then who knows what the government might be doing in the future to penalise councils who didn't go up to the full amount that they're allowed to and which has been budgeted in for by the government. Well, the settlement for 26-27 is set out in Table 1, which also shows the details for 25-26. It includes £300,000 for transitional protection, what I was talking about before. Note also that the revenue support grant increase is in part driven by several other grants which are paid separately but are now being rolled in to that to the support grant and the support grant increase. So it looks perhaps bigger than it is because they have rolled some of the other grants into it. The settlement received is an increase on the amount received in 25-26, but consider this at the same time as the resource allocation between council types. We came out worst, district councils came out worst of all the types of council from this fair spending, fair finance settlement, and also consider it in the context of last year's flat settlement account. The total rise is a little over 6%, but with inflation time is just over 4%, this covers the inflationary increases in service delivery, as well as the removal of grants, such as the National Insurance Guarantee Grant, which we used to get, we don't get any more. So the government giveth with one hand and has taken away with the other. The council depends on locally raised income from council tax and business rates. And this is repeated nationally, with 75% of the total increase in funding in the three-year settlements amounts being raised from council tax increases. Well, budget issues and adjustments for 26-27 are contained in paragraphs 5.21 to 5.25, and the major changes in the 26-27 portfolio budgets, which of course will be recurring in future years, are listed in paragraph 5.25. Here, one should note that the council purchased the Civic Centre in 25-26, and as a result, the base budget has been reduced by £776,000 to reflect rent which no longer needs to be paid. That's £750,000 every year. Our budget is being reduced by. So come on to the 25-26 forecast outturn. The latest portfolio position does reflect the inflationary increase in costs and known changes in the forecast and the impact of savings achieved. The estimated outturn is a 1.6 million portfolio surplus against the profiled budget. Now, this can be seen in Table 2 in paragraph 5.27. The major changes, I would say, in the environment and resources portfolios reflect the additional receipts from the extended producer responsibility payments, and they're no longer being a rental charge for the council to occupy the Civic Centre. As I said before, we save £776,000 a year. Well, at present, the council is forecasting a 0.5 million deficit over the budgeted for position for investment income due to falls in the interest rate and the use of reserves to purchase the aforesaid council building. Taking into account other technical adjustments, the result is a favourable overall forecast outturn. That can be seen in Table 3. So we have balanced budgets, and indeed we're also able to put something back into balances. That is in Table 3. The end of business rates pooling, and the reason is in paragraph 5.30. Table 3 in paragraph 5.31 reflects the forecast outturn position for 25-26, the proposed budget for 26-27, and indicative budgets for 27-28 and 28-29. The detailed budgets are to be found in Appendix 1. Now, whilst the multi-year settlement is welcome and helps to some extent with medium-term planning, it should be borne in mind that this is a provisional settlement and therefore could be subject to change. The government's wish to reorganise local government, combined with this, still limits the council's ability to plan strategically as much as we would like to. Table 4 and paragraph 5.6 shows the changes in 26-27 budget assumptions. Well, due to the council's prudent approach to budgeting, it has been able to manage the business rates reset and change to the funding methodology well, and examples are set out in paragraph 537. So now we move to reserves and balances. Now, these are an essential part of good financial management and help the Section 151 officer to reassure us on the council of the robustness of the estimates and the adequacy of reserves. And see Appendix 5 for that statement. The policy for many years has been to maintain the level of the general fund balance at a minimum of £1 million, and this is maintained over the whole of the planning period. Capital programme now, 25-26 to 28-29. The programme is attached as Appendix 2, and further information is given in paragraph 5.43. including the fact that the funding mechanism for the former Wilko site has been changed from council resources to future High Street grant. That is now going towards the Wilko site, and we had government permission to do that. Well, the council has capital resources of £1.495 million in general fund, and £3.136 million of Section 106 resources, not allocated at present. I should say the last year, the amount of money in Section 106 resources was £4.341 million. So we have reduced that by over £1 million. That's really spending Section 106 money. I'm sure some councils would be very pleased with that. Well, now we move on to stuff like the Council Tax Base and Collection Fund. Now, the tax base is the number of properties in the borough expressed in terms of bandy equivalents. You find those in Appendix 4. And the council's tax base is now estimated to be 50,296.31. And this is a welcome increase of 662.16 from the previous year. The collection fund has been reviewed as part of the budget process. Now, the thing that everyone's waiting for, council tax, 2026-27. The proposed increase of 2.99% is within the guidelines for district councils as contained in government policy, as I explained earlier. The proposed level of council tax for 26-27 is £184.09 for a Band D property, and of course the overall level of council tax is subject to final determination by council in February 2026. And the usual caveat is that the figures in this report may need minor amendment if any further information emerges before then. Well, to go back to council tax, for 25-26, that's last year, council tax was £178.75 for a Band D. So it's a rise of £5.34 for a Band D taxpayer. So how much per week extra is that? 10p, or be more precise, 10.2p, and a few more decimal space points off. So 10p, that's it, and that's the extra, that's it, bandy taxpayer paying for all the services that they get, all the excellent services, I might add, that they get from Stafford Borough Council. Well, the total council tax, of course, of the borough, the whole lot, will reflect the spending decisions by all the other preceptors, you know, the county council and the police and fire authority, and even a whole number of parish councils as well. And remember, please, that although we collect council tax, we only keep about 10% of it. The vast bulk goes to the county council. And it needs to be emphasised more and as often as we can to our council taxpayers. We keep about 10%. County council gets the elephant's share. Well, now then we come on to risks and future challenges. The most serious of these are the recruitment difficulties faced by the council, and the reasons are shown in paragraph 5.52. These shortages of staff could and are very likely to have a negative impact on service delivery, and let's be very careful in how we manage this. This is likely to be an issue until local government reorganisation is resolved. There's also the matter, a serious matter, of additional work that local government revenue is going to generate on our staff. However, provision has been made for this in the budget. So, yes, leader, there is a deal of uncertainty when peering into the crystal ball, but thanks to the prudence and competence of our knowledgeable and experienced Section 151 officer and his equally talented and hard-working team, the council is well placed to weather any storms that are gathering. And then finally, and on behalf of the cabinet, which I'm sure the cabinet would wish me to say, I would like to thank the finance team for the huge amount of time and effort they put into the creation of this budget, working to such deadlines to produce it. We are only seeing actually the tip of this iceberg. There has been so much work involved in collecting, checking, analysing, presenting the very considerable amounts of data, and they've done a superb job on this. So a very big thank you to the Deputy Chief Executive Resources, Chris, the Chief Accountant, Financial Management, Emma, and all the finance team who created this budget. And leader, I commend this budget to the Cabinet and ask that all the recommendations be agreed.
Thank you very much, Councillor Cook. Any questions or comments? Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, I'm just really pleased that within the budget we're providing continued financial support for one of our main priorities, that being Stafford Town Centre regeneration.
Thank you for that. Anybody else? Yeah, Councillor Pearce.
Well, just one or two points. I think you've made a point very well about the increase in council tax. The fact is that inflation, it's below the rate of inflation. It's below the rate at which wage increases within local authorities are taking place. So I think one would have to be churlish in the extreme to be arguing with the level of wage increase that we're proposing. I would also like to express my appreciation of the fact that, as it sets out in paragraph 6-7, resources have been put aside to implement our climate change agenda. The Climate Change Board is going to be meeting on a regular basis now, and we'll be looking at ways in which that can be progressed with the funding that's been provided. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Councillor Pearce. Anybody else wants to comment? I'd just like to round off this item by giving my thanks to the finance team. I know the hard work that's gone into this excellent budget, and congratulations to everybody. Everyone happy with the set of recommendations?
Right.
That's still on A, we're on Roman numeral 2, which is fees and charges review, and that's Councillor Cook again.
Thank you, Leader. Well, yes, this is the fees and charges review, and I recommend to candidates the fees and charges for 26-27, and specifically the new charges in paragraph 5.10, and the increase of about 4.3% of appendix 1 be approved. The report sets out the proposed fees and charges for 26-27, and paragraph 2.2 sets out the items to be included in accordance with the revised financial regulations agreed by the Council on 16 September 2019. In addition, the report includes those fees and charges where no increase is proposed from 1st of April 2026 for noting. The proposed fees and charges will have a direct impact on the 26-27 budget and beyond, and decisions that are made on these should take into account the Council's overall financial position, together with likely issues which could have an impact on our finances. Now, paragraphs 5.2 and 5.3 detail the headwinds and risks facing the Council. I'm not going to go through them all. They're there, they're easy to see, and we've covered some of them actually in the budget talk as well. One of the things, of course, is that our essential services are continuing to be in high demand, while benefits and debt defaults may increase as businesses try to manage the increased costs they face. Our costs, including pay, supplies, contractors, are all likely to rise, and we have no control over business rates, and council tax is effectively capped at the higher of 2.99% or £5. Well, the forecast budgets should also be considered when making discretionary decisions about income and expenditure. The higher the yield from fees and charges, the greater the income which is reflected in the budget. But this needs to be balanced or tempered by the recognition that the elasticity of demand around that percentage price could actually lead to a greater percentage fall in the quantity demanded, and therefore a consequent reduction in income. So we have to be terribly careful about where we're raising prices, because we can actually find it damages our income, depending on elastic demand around that price. Other issues with relatively high charges are set out in paragraph 5.4. A reminder also that the changes in fees and charges again come into effect from the 1st of April rather than the 1st of January to bring them into line with the budget setting cycle. Well, for 2026-27, inflation is measured by the RPI, that's what we're supposed to measure it by for these purposes, Retail Price Index, which in October 2025, which is the witching month to do it, stood at 4.3%. For information, the CPIH, that's the Consumer Price Index Housing, was 3.5% in October. However, in general, where officers have delegated authority, charges will rise by about 4%, allowing for rounding. So we're not going right up to the 4.3, but we could do. We're trying to keep it around about the 4%. But there'll be some where it goes over larger because of rounding up small figures. Well, some fees are set by external bodies or set by legislation or regulations, and we don't have any control over those. They will be included in the full list of published fees and charges, but don't have any appearance in this report. Note also the taxi licenses are subject to a separate review and require consultation. Charges for new services are set out in paragraphs 5.19, and proposals for deletion are in paragraph 5.10. Proposed increases above the threshold of 4.3% are shown in Appendix 1. Now, the Council also considers market conditions when setting fees and charges. Thus, some charges where the Council has the power to vary them will not rise. And the most significant of these, firstly, car park charges, long-term and short-term, will be frozen at 25-26 prices. And that is, if you like, what we're doing as a council to try and help town regeneration, to try and encourage more people to come into the town, to do their shopping, to have enjoy their leisure, to go into entertainment places in the night economy. So we are holding car parks charges frozen. We are also freezing chargeable garden waste collection charges. They will be frozen at 25-26 prices as well. And I ask council to agree the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cook. Any comments, Councillor Fordham?
Thank you, Leader. I'm sure we'll all agree that in the current difficult economic circumstances, it can only be positive that prudent financial management has allowed us to hold the car park and brand in charges at current levels. I think we can already see that these freezes in charges are being welcomed by our residents. And I'm sure town centre businesses will welcome the freezing of the car park charges, and this coupled with our town centre regeneration plans demonstrates our commitment to the future of the town centre. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fulton. Anybody else in the comments? Well, thank you very much, Councillor Cook. That's good news on fees and charges for parking and the brown bins. We move on. Item 4B, which is Community Portfolio Allocation Policy Review and Charges. Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Leader. The Allocations Policy Review and Changes, we're asking this Council to approve this report. The Council's recently completed an 8-week public consultation on our Applications Policy as Homes Plus closed their housing needs list in September 2025. We expected to be overwhelmed with applications for housing. This didn't happen. In the event of an increase in applications, we don't have the staffing resources to assess a high volume of applications. We've looked at the proposals to change our allocations policy, and we'll review again in the autumn or sooner if we see a large increase in applications. So I therefore ask the Cabinet to approve the proposed changes to our allocations policy. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Councillor Hood. Any comments or questions? Everyone happy to accept the recommendation?
Aye.
Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our meeting for tonight. Thank you for attending.